Welcome to the Lifebeat Podcast. I am your new host, Tiffany. I was formerly a co-host, but now I'm taking over as host. So I'm very excited for this podcast specifically. It is Memorial Day weekend, and as we head into a time of reflection and remembrance, it's also a perfect moment to talk about hope, life, and love. And today we're going to be diving into a very powerful conversation about the beautiful life-affirming option of adoption. And my guest is someone who brings both personal and professional insight into this topic, Terry Marcroft. She is an adoptive mother, she's an author, and a founder of Unplanned Good, which is a nonprofit that promotes open adoption as a loving alternative. Terry, welcome to this episode. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Tiffany. I'm thrilled to be with you today.
So as we get into this conversation, you've walked the journey of adoption in a very personal way. Could you share a bit about your experience adopting your daughter and how that shaped your passion for promoting adoption?
Sure, I would love to. That's probably my favorite story. But my husband and I were struggling for years to start a family, just to make a long story very short. And so we went through a bunch of the infertility testing and all of that treatment side, and then eventually decided to pursue adoption. And that's a few years project in any case. Yeah. And then finally, in 1999, spring of 99, a young teenager who was facing an unplanned pregnancy in Northern California chose adoption. And then she chose us to parent her baby. And that was just the biggest blessing of my life to date. And so we were able to adopt at birth. And because she chose us right in the middle of her pregnancy, we were able to get to know her for a bit during the second half of her pregnancy. And then her mom called us when she went into labor. And so we were able to be at the hospital to witness the birth of our daughter. My husband was able to cut the cord, and we were able to share that whole beautiful, painful, but beautiful process with our birth mother. And so just being able to get to know her a bit was a gift, so that we were all rather comfortable with each other by the time that Sydney was born. And so we brought her home the next day, brought her home when she was 24 hours old. And just forever grateful to her birth mother for that series of choices.
Yes. So was adoption, you said you were able to experience meeting the birth mother. Was adoption something that you were open to from the very beginning, or were you more open to that later down the road?
Well, we were open to that when the rest of our choices proved to be not practical or not happening.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we would have loved to start our family in the normal, typical way. And then when we were pursuing the infertility, nothing there actually provided a solution. So then we turned to adoption. So it was after several years of attempting to start our family that we turned to adoption. And then a few years later that we were actually chosen by a woman facing unplanned pregnancy to parent her child. So no, it wasn't our first choice.
I wanted to talk a little bit about your organization called Unplanned Good, and which is a nonprofit adoption organization. What led you to start that, and what was the gap that you saw in the conversation about unplanned pregnancy and adoption?
So my husband and I brought Sydney home from the hospital when she was 24 hours old. And then for the next decade, we were like any other typical, you know, small family raising our daughter. Everything was very average, normal American family. But after about 10 years of that, several of my friends started coming to me and saying, Terry, how did that adoption work out so smoothly for you? How did it seem like it was all quite seamless and easy for you? Which it wasn't, but that was their perception. And so when my friends started having difficulty adopting, then together we kind of looked into the situation and said, so why is that, that there are so few babies available to adopt, when you hear all the time about teenagers becoming pregnant or young women in their 20s becoming pregnant? You hear a lot about unplanned pregnancy, And it would make sense that there would be more babies available to adopt, but there aren't. So my friends and I started questioning that and wanted to figure out why that was. So I started doing some research on the situation so that I could understand why it was the way it was and how to support my friends. And we found out that out of the 3 million unplanned pregnancies in the country every year, less than 1% of those turn into adoption plans. So less than 1% of the women facing unplanned pregnancy choose adoption. And we had been so fortunate with our beautiful experience with our beautiful birth mother that made me want to just shout about adoption from the rooftops and say, "Hey, world, everyone, please wake up to this situation, because if you're facing an unplanned pregnancy, people today think they need to choose between abortion and parenting. And if we have adoption on the radar, then they would realize that if they just complete their pregnancy, they can actually choose parents for their baby. They don't have to be on the hook for the next 20 years of parenting." And that was why I started Unplanned Good, because we wanted more people to understand what adoption looks like these days.
And that is so important too, not only for a child who is up for adoption, which is a life-changing alternative, but also, like you said, for parents who may be struggling to have children or, want that opportunity to be able to raise a child. It goes for both. And I just want to know, how do you think is the best way to reach women who may not be considering adoption?
We're attempting to get it on, back on the radar, because it was on the radar. The numbers have been declining every decade for my entire lifetime. And so the numbers are going down. It used to be on the radar back in the 60s and 70s because the parents of the woman facing unplanned pregnancy would force the adoption plan on her and send her away till she delivered and then placed with with another family. And then they would bring her back home and say, "Don't ever talk about this again. Just forget about it," which was it's a huge and life-changing traumatic experience to ask her to never talk about that again. So adoption was certainly more frequently chosen back in the 60s and 70s, but it was certainly not it wasn't a healthy, open, transparent process that it is today. So it's changed a lot, and it's become much more considerate of the woman's psychological and emotional health, because we've found that being transparent and being open and being honest and affirming the difficulty of this choice and letting her grieve and know to expect some grief process, all of that is being treated so much better in our country these days. And the adoption industry has done a great job actually of changing the standard operating procedures from very close to very open adoption. So it's much healthier and much kinder, although still very difficult. So just letting people know that it's one of the choices is kind of our goal. And we do that through, all of the activities at Unplanned Good. There's a newsletter, there's a website, there's speaking engagements, there's educational materials. I even wrote a course for the health ed classes that are being used in high school and junior high. So there are a lot of ways to get that message out, but it starts with, our society accepting adoption.
That is so inspiring, and loving hearing about all the work that you and your organization are doing to help the pro-life movement. And especially in our culture now, abortion, it's often portrayed as, like you said, the only option for women in crisis, and we really want to give them that alternative. Why do you think adoption is so rarely talked about, and how do you think we can change that?
So, you mentioned the pro-life movement, and I would say that for the last few decades, maybe even since the Roe decision, the pro-life movement has been focused on an anti-abortion message. And it has the opportunity now to embrace a pro-adoption message. And so I'm a little bit disappointed whenever I see that opportunity missed, because we can argue about abortion and we can argue against it, really until we're blue in the face. But most likely, most of the time, you're more successful if you provide a different alternative.
Yeah.
Like another solution, something constructive. Like any of us who've raised kids know, if you just say no to something, that's not as successful as saying no, but try this.
Mm-hmm.
And so offering a solution or another suggestion is so much more successful.
Yeah.
But as I say, it's not an easy thing for a young woman to choose. And often the reason young women would choose adoption is because they don't have a partner, they don't have an income, they don't have the resources or the support system. It's a very difficult choice,
yeah,
for sure. And so that's why our message goes out to our society at large to say, let's embrace these women. And for goodness sakes, stop judging them,
mm-hmm,
as the first course of action. You know, stop judging them and shaming them.
Yeah.
But instead, if we turned all of our pro-life energy into embracing them and encouraging them and motivating them and filling them in on what does adoption look like these days, helping to distinguish it from foster care, which people tend to get mixed up frequently, there could be so much more reason for those women to go through that difficult choice,
mm-hmm,
of making an adoption plan.
Yeah.
So I think we need a lot more encouragement and a lot less judgment. And things could be turning in a different direction.
Yeah, like you said, it's all about empowering women, not judging them for past decisions or where they're at. And really, too, mm-hmm, especially in the pro-life movement, it's so important to meet people where they're at. And,
yes,
yeah, give them the resources that are needed where they are currently. And
right. If she's 6, 8, 10 weeks, mm-hmm, pregnant, it doesn't do any good to say, how did you get there? And why,
exactly,
were you so careless? And all of those other judgmental statements, you know,
yeah,
she is pregnant. She is expecting. So let's start there. Hold her hand, embrace her as we review options.
Exactly.
Like, let's go forward from today because we can't impact the past. Let's go forward from today and review with full information too.
Mm-hmm.
This is another key, full information about what does abortion involve? What does single parenting involve? What does adoption look like?
Yeah.
And every parent, every leader, every pastor can inform themselves enough to have a really good comprehensive conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and speaking of informing about this topic, you've actually written two books about adoption. One more from a general perspective and then one specifically for Christians. What, mm-hmm, messages were you most passionate about getting across to your readers in those?
Tiffany, I appreciate that question. The first book, which I wrote right after Roe got overturned,
mm-hmm,
I wrote it in the summer of 2022. And it's called Pro-Choice, Pro-Adoption. And I wrote it for my pro-choice friends. I was living in California at the time. So, you know, 9 out of 10 people are pro-choice.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very liberal state. So to write the book for the pro-choice reader, and I basically left the moral question aside, put that aside, and talked about the ramifications of choosing abortion and choosing abortion multiple times and what that does to your body and what that does to future pregnancies and what that does to your mental health. And then looking at choosing adoption and how that works, what it involves. And the foreword of the book is a testimonial from a birth mother who goes through her story about finding out that she was pregnant and then choosing adoption. And then the afterword of the book is that same birth mother 10 years later looking back on her adoption choice.
Yeah.
And so I wrote it for my pro-choice friends to just get informed about adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no morals or judgments in there. It's really just information and then firsthand stories.
Yeah.
So that's the first book. And then some of my pro-life friends were raising their eyebrows at me and saying, what's the scoop on this? So then I wrote the Christian version of it's the same message, though. It's explaining about how adoption works these days and why it could be considered a beautiful choice.
And like you said, that first book, you said tackles abortion from not necessarily a faith-based stance, but it's purely through the lens of medical science and health. And you said the second is more faith-based. What has the response been from the readers from each of those different books?
Well, from the first book, the pro-choice book, there's not a lot of time spent on abortion. It's just one chapter, really, that goes very briefly through the health consequences. And people say that they are really surprised to hear any of that information because it does get suppressed by our society.
Yeah.
And so the studies, quote unquote, that say that abortion is harmless and safe as taking a Tylenol, those tend to get highlighted.
Yeah.
And anything else to the contrary tends to get suppressed. And so I thought it was important just to spend a little bit of time on that. And I back it up. It's very heavily cited. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of citations and references to read more written by people who are a lot smarter than I am about all of the medical aspect of it. But I just felt it needed to be mentioned briefly. And then the more powerful part that does surprise people are some of the statistics, like the 3 million unplanned pregnancies, and then the fact that less than 1% of those result in the choice to place for adoption.
Yeah.
But also the other statistics, you know, that we are leading the world really in teen pregnancy, in unplanned pregnancy, in single mother households, you know, all of those kinds of statistics that it's not what we're striving for as a society, but we're really surprisingly leading in those ways for a Western civilized, educated country that we are.
Yeah.
You know, you would think that we would be doing better on all of those measures. So, and then the flip side too is that when unplanned pregnancy, when single motherhood is chosen, you know, and people are often encouraged into quote unquote keeping their babies, often the pregnancy resource centers really strongly encourage young women to keep their babies because they're saying no to abortion.
Yeah.
That's their goal, understandably. So they encourage those women to keep their babies, and they offer formula and diapers and all kinds of resources through the first 12 or 18 months. You know, but the truth is that if that woman has no resources, she's not in a relationship, she doesn't have a degree, she doesn't have a career, she doesn't have an income, all of that is an extremely difficult scenario to raise a child in.
Yeah.
And so the women who are choosing adoption these days are often will tell you that they're doing it because they want the best for their baby. Mm-hmm. They're doing it out of love.
Yeah.
They're giving hope to their baby. They're giving life, then they're giving hope, and they're expressing an unfathomable amount of love when they make an adoption plan. Because they're saying, you know, my baby deserves the best. I can't give it to her or to him at this point in my life. And so I'm going to choose parents who can. And that's the sentiment of the women who are choosing adoption today. And I believe that all of that should be celebrated. I see Sydney's birth mom as a hero.
Yeah.
And I'm forever grateful to her for making that life-affirming choice that showed the love and the hope that she has in my daughter's life.
Yeah. And that really shows how we as pro-life advocates can better explain what adoption really looks like from a positive perspective.
I don't want to overlook the trauma that's involved, because that's clear. It starts with separation from the birth mother to the child. And that is that's not to be trivialized at all. And so I want to respect that. But also in the big picture and in the long term, there's a lot to be said about placing for adoption.
That is so true. What would you say are some of the biggest myths or misunderstandings that people have about adoption today that you've seen personally?
Well, one is that a lot of people are not informed about how open adoption works these days. So it's changed completely from closed adoption to open adoption. So people who still refer to adoption as giving up your baby that tends to run chills down my spine because it's not giving up. It's very intentionally placing in another family that has, you know, the ability to parent well. And often the other reason it's not giving up is because often the woman who is the birth mother does stay in touch with that new family.
Yeah.
And she is often, you know, woven into that family. Mm-hmm. It depends obviously on the comfort level of everybody involved. But in our case, we got to the point where our birth mother was happy to come and visit with us. You know, it started with her first visit when she was about to join the military.
Yeah.
And so before she went into officer's training school, she wrote me a Christmas letter and said she wanted to come and visit before she requested to be stationed in Iraq in case she didn't come back. Yeah. And that kind of request, you know, obviously we would say yes. And she came and spent a weekend with us. But in many cases, open adoption means staying involved and visiting. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it just means sending one letter per year or one photo per year. Mm-hmm. But other times there's room for a whole extended family.
Yeah. That is so moving. And I love your story and how you are still connected with Sydney's mother. And for people listening who also may be moved by hearing your story in this podcast, what is something practical that they can do to help support adoption, even if it's just as an individual or in their community as a whole?
Yes, each individual is in a position to do something to support adoption. If I could wave a magic wand and change one thing, it would be for everyone to understand the beauty of adoption today. Yeah. And what an open adoption can look like if everybody's on board and approaching the whole situation with the child at the center of it, like the child is our most important consideration. Mm-hmm. So that as adults, we could embrace this responsibility to be informed.
Yeah.
And if people are informed about the beauty of open adoption and they're prepared to talk about it, they would be surprised at how often the opportunity comes up. Because if one in four teenagers is getting pregnant before age 20, that means someone in your family or someone in your neighborhood, mm-hmm. someone in your church, someone in your school, someone in your circle, social circle, will be facing an unplanned pregnancy, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And if every individual inform themselves about open adoption so that they could talk about it, they would have the opportunity to talk about it. And you never know how much your encouragement is going to have an effect on someone who's facing an unplanned pregnancy.
Yeah. Is there a way for people to get involved with Unplanned Good, with your nonprofit organization?
Sure. Yeah, there are lots of ways to get involved. You know, if read the books, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I send them, like, if a group wants to give them out to a whole group, or you want one for your library, people who get in touch with me, I can pass on the Amazon discount, you know, by ordering quantities.
Yeah.
And so that can happen. I speak at, I haven't turned down a speaking engagement yet, mm-hmm. although they're becoming a little bit more frequent. So I don't know how long I'm going to be able to say that, but when people have fundraising events for their, Crisis Pregnancy Center, mm-hmm. or they have adoption conferences that are happening, I speak at those. But the ways that people can get involved is really just immersing yourself in knowledge and passing on the knowledge. So if you want to pass on books to somebody else, just let me know and we'll make them available. But I'm really focused on getting the word out. And then the second thing is that I never would have expected to get involved in legislation. That's a crazy path that my life took under God's direction, for sure. But people can get involved and change the adoption law in their state. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of laws that make it a little bit difficult for that woman facing unplanned pregnancy to choose adoption. And so we can change some laws to make that a little bit easier. We can also change some laws to bring adoption education into the health ed classes.
Yeah.
And we did that in Idaho. That was the first law we got passed, was getting adoption education into the health ed classes, mm-hmm. Because it's not a part of the normal curriculum.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's,
which may not make sense to most of us, but
yeah.
that was the case, and now it's different. And who would have thought, you know?
And it's so important to reach out to children and kids in the education system. Even with our organization too, at Right to Life, we have a program called My Gen Leads, where we have people who go out to middle schools and high schools and colleges and just speak to kids on the pro-life movement and explain it to them in a very loving and caring way. So, yes, I also agree that is so important.
Yes, definitely.
Well, Terry, thank you so much for sharing your heart and your story and your mission with us today. Your voice is such a powerful reminder that adoption is a deeply loving and life-giving choice, and one that deserves a lot more attention and support in the pro-life movement.
I appreciate that, Tiffany. It's been great talking with you. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, thank you for coming on. And thank you to our listeners for joining us on Life Beat. And as we head into Memorial Day weekend, we want to honor those who have given everything for our freedom. And we also want to reflect on the value of every single human life. If today's episode encouraged you, please feel free to share it with a friend and consider how you can be a voice for life in your own community. Until next time, I'm Tiffany, and I hope you have a safe, joyful, and meaningful Memorial Day weekend. God bless.